What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Yeah, just trying to figure it all out. These brackets, man. Brackets are always difficult, but at least, like in most years, there's at least a couple teams you feel good about just sticking them in your Final Four and riding it out, right? I mean, you just do. But this year, I'm like, gah, every region.
Yeah.
Every region's hard. What was it, a couple years ago when I had Baylor winning the whole thing?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, because you knew going in, Baylor was going to be really hard to beat with their three guards and all they do. And, you know, they went on and won the national championship. I think I picked it right that year. Gosh, I didn't pick Kansas last year, but you felt good about some teams. This year, you're just like, golly.
I'm still trying to get over Ty sleeping with his blouse on and no panties. That's what's screwing me up.
Is it what, you wearing a teddy?
No. So what kind of blouse is that?
T-shirt, I'm assuming.
Is it a T-shirt?
T-shirt, sometimes a sweatshirt.
No panties, though.
No.
Sleep with a sweatshirt?
Yeah, you know, I like to regulate at least one part of my body, top half.
Yeah, well.
And then let the, you know.
We regret to inform you, last week we dropped the ball on calling Coach Pierce. This morning, Coach Pierce isn't feeling great.
No, he's not.
We hate to break that news to Longhorn Nation, but he says he woke up this morning, wasn't feeling great, so he asked if we could push it back from 8:30 to 9, and now at 9 he said, let's see if we can maybe do
it tomorrow. He's not feeling well, y'all.
Yeah, well, it's been back-to-back nights of games. They played North Dakota State Tuesday and Wednesday night, and up late last night after the ball game, so again, we're not stiffing you on Coach Pierce conversation, promise you, but we hope Coach Pierce gets to feeling better really quick.
Get that over-the-counter stuff, Z.
Did you get the Zyrtec D yesterday? Did you get the D?
D's, yes.
The D.
Over-the-counter.
And are you feeling better? You're still a little sniffly today.
Yeah, but I'm better than yesterday, which I was
You sound more lively.
Yeah, I was that stuff. And I didn't realize what that stuff can do when you take it. That stuff gives you a little drowsy. Some of that stuff.
If you get them by the right one.
And Buck can take some pills now without getting drowsy. So,
Vicodin.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had problems with this. These little Allegra, whatever these things are, they make you kind of out there.
Well, they're messing with your innards, right? They're trying to beat your sinuses.
Whew.
But yeah, so Coach Pierce, not a little bit under the weather this morning, so I'm going to try to set it up for tomorrow. Tomorrow, of course, they open a series with New Orleans, and obviously tomorrow we'll be talking a lot
about the Fighting Shaka Smarts tonight, and the Longhorns.
Whatever happens tonight in Des Moines, Iowa, Texas wins tonight. That's the one thing I know. Texas beats Colgate. But Ty, you're saying, I heard BK mention it too, that the gambling line's coming down because Texas is 1-9 in their last 10 tournament games against the line. I do think, though, this is a different Texas team. What I said about Baylor a couple seconds ago about when Baylor made their run, they're a similar team to that. They've got three really experienced, good guards who I think you can lean on. And, you know, obviously they could go into, you know, we've seen Marcus Carr in a bit of a slump at times, but played better in Kansas City. Tyrese Hunter was in a slump, but has played much better over the last 3 weeks. And Serge Ibaka-Rice has just been a rock star all year long. And as I say, the thing you like about the matchup with Colgate tonight is they don't play good defense, and they haven't tried to defend a team this good.
Yeah, defend these guards.
I mean, the analytics you like about Texas versus Colgate are their ability to score, because when Texas gets themselves in trouble this year is when they go in these long scoring droughts, right? Remember, think about the game at Waco where they were up big, 18-4 or whatever, and all of a sudden they don't score for 9 minutes, and next thing you know, they lose this ball game in Waco. I don't know that Colgate can put you in a 9-minute scoring drought. They're 114th in the country in, you know, defensive efficiency. I mean, Texas is number 11 in defensive efficiency. So that's a huge win for Texas, defensive side of the ball. And then the Longhorn defense stopping Colgate, It's about those three-point shots.
And it's about that rebound, and if they don't make those three-point shots.
Yeah, getting those long boards and pushing it up. But obviously it's the madness for a reason, because you just never know in a 40-minute game. Coaches will play this in, you know, four-minute spurts, right?
They'll,
you know, those extra media timeouts, because it's a television situation, those timeouts at 16 and 12 and 8 and 4, they're all longer than usual, right? Because you get extra commercial time. And so coaches will try to play these games like this in a 4-minute stretch each. You know, you got four-minute stretches each half. Can you keep yourself in the game? And I'm sure that's what Colgate's thinking, being the mighty underdog that they are. And that's how those upsets happen, right? And then the pressure rises on the team that's favored to win. They start gripping a little bit. And
when they can't shoot free throws.
Then the next thing you know, you got Abilene Christian all over again. You know,
I'm still not buying the free throw thing. That's for real. That's a stat for this group from Colgate. You can shoot all those threes, and they stink from the free throw line.
Like 307th in the country.
They probably don't get to the free throw line that often. Well, that probably has something to do with it. If they're shooting that many threes.
They're not going to the rack, that's for sure.
Well, they don't. They only make like they don't make a lot of them when they get there. But
a lot
say
of
that.
Coaches' sons. Well, that's another make free throws.
Well, that's another thing you like about Texas. They make free throws. I mean, gosh, how many times have we seen with Shaka Smart and Rick Barnes in years past where the free throw shooting was just a
bugaboo?
And you're
sitting there as a fan gripping when they're shooting free throws late in games.
Well, that's what you love about Tyrese Hunter and Jabari Rice. These are going to be the guys that have the ball in their hands late in games.
Because Carr's a good free throw shooter, too. They're all pretty good.
Well, that's why guards are huge, because they're going to come down to, tonight game I don't think comes down to a possession or two, but when you get into those games, you got to knock down those foul shots. And Texas has guys that do that at a high level. And I thought Brad Kellner made a great point when you talk about Texas A&M, who plays tonight against Penn State. They average almost 20 free throws made per game. Buzz Williams' team lives in the lane, and they live in the paint, and they live at the free throw line. It's one of the things Texas has done, and this would preview the Texas-Texas A&M matchup if we get to it, and obviously we will know tomorrow, but Texas has done a good job of late of defending well without fouling, which
yes, they have.
The Kansas game was in particular, even the TCU game on that Friday night where they're not fouling a lot. And Rodney Terry's done a great job bringing this team along on that front. Still playing the good D, but also not fouling people. By the way, how did you lose that game against Abilene Christian a few years ago? Remember this game? The turnovers? Are you kidding me? Texas lost that game 53-52. They turned the ball over 23 times. Against Abilene Christian. That was a sloppy game. That's another thing. Texas does a good job of not turning the ball over because they have three guards who can handle the rock and three guards who make good decisions most of the time. And so, like this team tonight. I do. Now, do you like Texas A&M as well?
I do.
In this spot.
Yeah, I think this match of this meeting is going to happen.
Okay. All right, since we're going to pinch hit again because with David Pierce not feeling great, we pinch hit with Brad Kellner because we were going to talk to Brad in this spot, and he jumped in at 8:30. But look who's on the Comrex hotline right now. Not the Vaqueros hotline, but the Comrex hotline live in beautiful downtown Des Moines, Iowa. He is the voice of the Longhorns, Craig Way. Craig, are you there with us?
And when you say Des Moines, make sure you add beautiful.
That's right. You know?
Beautiful is right.
Yeah.
What's the temps there this morning? Craig.
It's not bad this morning, Buck. It actually got up to 60 degrees here yesterday. That's the high point of the week. I can tell you that right now. It has dropped. It's 49 right now, and it's on the downward spiral. Oh. By the time the game tips tonight, it'll be 35 degrees. And then tomorrow morning, the low will be 18 with a high of 35. And Saturday, the low will be 12 with a high of 27.
Oh.
Yeah, Ty will have to sleep with his sweatshirt on and not his blouse tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to cover all the way up there. Thanks for sharing that, Ty. Yeah.
Craig, wasn't the other choice Vegas for you guys? If for Texas, it could have been in Vegas, and now you're in Des Moines. That's just...
That was the... Vegas, of course, a Sweet 16 site, and folks thought that Texas might be slotted to that West region and Kansas to the Midwest. I think that's what the Big 12 tournament championship game did, is to flip that to where they were no longer going to reward Kansas by giving them a straight path Des Moines, Kansas City, and went instead for the Jayhawks, Des Moines, Vegas, I was talking with Brian Haney, the Jayhawks play-by-play voice yesterday, because, you know, they're here too. They're playing, you know, in a different pod, but here in Des Moines, and they play the first game of the day today against Howard. And he was saying, yeah, he said, you guys ended up with Kansas City. If you win two here, we ended up with Vegas. I wish we could switch. I said, so do I, it's a good path, obviously, for the Longhorns. They pretty much have the Kansas Jayhawk path. Des Moines, Kansas City, win two games here, go back to the scene of the crime 2 weeks ago where he won the Big 12 tournament title. So it does set up well for the Longhorns if they're handling their business.
And then Colgate, what have you learned about the Raiders since you've been there on the ground, the opponent tonight at 6:25?
Well, it's a lot of lot of what you guys were saying, and I think I had it in the morning report. I asked Rodney Terry at the news conference yesterday because somebody asked Marcus Carr. I don't remember who it was. Somebody asked Marcus Carr. The player availability was first, and they said, do they remind you of anybody? And he said, not really. They kind of have a different style in how they run their offense and all that. And so then when I asked Rodney that, he said, well, two teams come to mind. Baylor, in that their guards are difficult to guard and said it makes it difficult. And he mentioned Creighton as a team where the guards handle a lot of that. And if you're not on point defensively, obviously that's where they make you pay at 51% and you know, beyond the arc. And I heard you guys talking about the free throw shooting, and they are a 66% free throw shooting team. And while that ranks down low, it's not hard. The weird thing is that Tucker Richardson, who has hit 52 three-pointers this year in 163 attempts, is only a 51% free throw shooter. The guy you don't want to put on the line is Oliver Lynch Daniels, their senior guard. He is a 50% shooter beyond the arc and 86% from the foul line. So the guy, watch for number 33 tonight. That's the guy that you don't want to put on the free throw line, even though Richardson, by a couple of points, is their leading scorer.
Craig, with their guards at Colgate, they're going to have to really – use up a lot of energy trying to cover for Tech, the guys at Texas. They have not seen guards like this all year long, and they're going to be running around trying to figure out how to defend these guys. That'll put a lot of pressure on them for their 3-point shooting also.
Yeah, and you know, Buck, they've had this long winning streak, and I get that. I understand that, it's a solid program. Matt Langell's done a great job there. In fact, I did a Westwood One broadcast back in 19 when they played a Rick Barnes Tennessee coach team, and they had them on the ropes. Tennessee ended up winning the game, but they played them very, very difficult. So they've got the track record on all that. Having said all of that, the teams they've beaten on that long winning streak and winning, 20 of 21, I mean, they've beaten Lafayette. They've beaten Loyola. They've beaten American. Their one loss, by the way, was to American. They've beaten Navy, Holy Cross, Army, Bucknell. Navy, Holy Cross, Army, Bucknell is not exactly Kansas, TCU, Iowa State,
right,
you know, and Baylor. It's not quite the same level of, and caliber of opponents. Not to say they don't play well. They play pretty technically sound, but it's not quite the same caliber of opposition. And to your point, I think that's where their biggest challenge is going to be, is trying to guard the Texas guards.
Two things, Craig, and then we can let you get ready for your show coming up at 10 o'clock. But in your talks with Rodney Terry, what do you think the lineup is tonight with Timmy Allen? Do you think they stick with what worked in Kansas City, or does Timmy get back into the starting lineup? Any way to know that? And since you travel with the team and you're around them so much, what has been the key for you for Dylan Dessous and his – well, really since that Baylor game in mid-February in Waco where they lost, but he scored 24 points. His confidence has just gone through the roof. Now he's the tournament most outstanding player a week ago. What for you has been the key for Dylan to really flip that switch?
Okay, first of all, I expect Timmy Allen to be back in the starting lineup.
Okay.
I asked him in the news conference, how do you feel? Can you give us – he said 100% ready to go. I think he said, I'm going full speed is the way he described it. So I would expect that he would be back in the starting lineup and that Jabari Rice will come off the bench. It is possible that they might want to watch him in warm-ups and make sure. Either way, I think whoever doesn't start is going to be in the ballgame by the first time out. By the first media timeout, whether it's Rice or whatever. And especially if Dessous should pick up an early foul, then you'll probably see that tandem substitution where they bring in Christian Bishop and then they bring in Jabari at that point. As to your question about Dylan, being healthy is just giving him that freedom of mind. And it really almost wasn't even until the midway part of the season where I think Dylan could trust himself and trust that knee completely. You guys have always heard the story about the wide receiver or the running back who had the ACL injury, and you got to be able to, as coaches say, cut it loose and let it go. And I think Dylan went through some of that, and then he just started feeling better about it. And we saw it down the stretch of the regular season where he started to become more of a factor. Remember, even in the loss to Baylor, he played really well in that game, even mm-hmm. though most others did not, especially after they got out to the big lead. And I think he's just carried it forward from there. And when you do that, as you guys know, your teammates trust you and they want to get the ball in your hands a lot more. He's very comfortable with that one-handed flip in the lane from 12 to 15 feet, the jump hook, even just shooting from the elbow. He's really, really – and he could knock down the occasional three. So I think all of that, but it's mainly just feeling comfortable and what he's doing on the practice floor that's made a difference.
You can see it. He was tremendous and really the difference maker in their game games in Kansas City. See if they can carry it into this one as well. Hey, Craig, appreciate it. And for jumping on, you'll be ready to go. Are you going live at 10 o'clock?
I am, and Jeff Howe was making his way from, I think he's staying out in Urbandale out there because all the hotel stuff. But he's making his way downtown here, and he'll jump on. We're going to hear from Rodney Terry, also from Bob Donawald, the assistant coach. Bob Donawald, of course, is a lifer and has been a head coach at the international level and collegiate level and all that sort of stuff. Bob Donawald also, Aaron, was the head coach of the Iowa Energy for 2 years here in Des Moines. So he knows this building, and we had a little conversation with Bob Donawald, so that'll be coming up as well. So we got all of that coming up on Light the Tower 10.
All right, Craig, thanks
Craig.
So much.
And thank you,
to be
Craig.
Here. We'll be listening this evening. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Fellas, thanks. Have a good one.
Iowa Energy.
Wow.
The G League. The G League based in Des Moines, Iowa. Is that that's the farm team for whom? Do we know? Minnesota Timberwolves. Minnesota T-Wolves. There you go.
Wow.
Hey, man. There you go. Yeah, Dylan Dessou big. Looks like Timmy Allen may be back into the starting lineup tonight. We'll be watching. It's a 6:25 tip from beautiful Des Moines. Where do you say Jeff's staying? Urbandale?
Urbandale. He's staying out, staying out in the burbs.
I'm trying to think. I've been to Des Moines, right? You've been to Des Moines? Not
once.
A bad, not a terrible place.
No, not a terrible place.
Well, because you got to fly into Des Moines.
I've never asked to go back.
Well, because when Texas, if you play Iowa State, you got to fly into Des Moines to get to Iowa, to get to Ames, right? You got to get to Ames. But, okay, well, Texas hoops. Texas A&M follows on that same floor. When they play Penn State, the winners will meet on Saturday. And games start this morning at 11:15 this morning and go all day. Let me just say that's why I'm kind of struggle busting with this bracket here. I don't know who to pick in the East region, Buck. I like Tennessee, but Sakai Ziegler, their point guard's hurt. That kills me.
No, that hurts bad.
I like them. But can they beat Purdue in the round of 16? Can Purdue get to the round? Is it Purdue, Buck, or is it K-State, or is it Marquette? That's the bracket that's really
Marquette,
got me.
It's Marquette all the way through.
K-State or Marquette?
I can't pick Shaka Smart. I can't.
Well, then take K-State, I guess.
And I can't pick Tennessee and Rick Barnes because of the point guard's hurt. I know they got other guards, and they got bigs, and they're veteran.
What about the Dukies? They're just starting to come together.
I know. Do I trust their youth, though, this time of year?
Not against Marquette, you can't.
Oh, man.
Shaka's got two players. He's got one that's unbelievable. Once again,
Jones.
Once again, despite the coaching, sometimes the talent will outweigh the coaching.
Duke is Duke.
Duke is Duke, though.
Duke is Duke. And I'm with you on what Brad Kellner said last hour, and Ari Temkin was with us in the first hour, and he echoed the same thing, that with Kansas, as Craig just talked about, getting flipped out to the West, that's a really, really tough bracket. And I'll say this, if you go to the Vegas odds to make the Final Four or the KenPom rankings,
mm-hmm.
No, Kansas is number 9 in the KenPom. UCLA is number 2. UConn is number 4 in the KenPom metrics.
The hell's wrong with, yeah.
Gonzaga is number 8 in KenPom.
Gonzaga is the number 1 scoring team in the nation.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a single elimination tournament, and you got to pick somebody. So I got UCLA out of the West. Was that crazy? UCLA?
I got UConn.
With my man Mick Cronin and the UCLA Bruins.
They're pretty hurt.
Are they banged up?
Yeah, they're playing like 7 guys. 6.
But will they get healthy as the tournament goes or what?
No.
Oh, man.
But they also, I mean, every single year it seems like something's up with them, you know, whether it's injuries or, you know, barely getting in the tournament. And they, you know, they seem to go on a run. So that's not a bad pick.
Okay, okay. Well, we're having a hard time here. We'll continue the picks coming up. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to our buddy Eric Goodman, who covers the Austin FC for the Austin Chronicle. He was at the match on Tuesday night that didn't go the Austin FC's way, but he's written a great story about that Haitian team. And what a great sports story it is. If you like a good sports story.
They're trying to do a movie?
Yeah, well, we're pulling guys off the team from New Jersey, couldn't get visas, came in here and held on. Let's talk to Eric Goodman because the FC also.
The Jamaica bobsled team.
Also playing Saturday in Houston. So we'll talk to Eric Goodman coming up here on Beanie.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Boy, busy, busy Thursday, obviously. Buck-ons and buck-offs, and the rain has come through. So if you were planning to get out and see some live music in Austin for the South By, the music really cranking up with those live shows, I want to take a little umbrella. But it's one of those great days, Buck. We talked yesterday to Tom Gimble in this spot from Austin ACL TV. You can go down and see his event, which starts at the top of the hour, that Bloody Mary morning event at GSD&M in the back courtyard. They're going to have live music going on at Waterloo Ice House across the street, or Waterloo Ice House, Waterloo Records across the street in that parking lot. There'll be stuff going on, and then you can jump on down to Shoal Creek Saloon and catch some games.
Yes, you can.
Catch some games, catch some music, go back, catch some games.
Catch some food.
Catch some food. Oh, man, it's what it's all about. And I wish the weather were a little nicer, but we kind of need the rain right now. And this is going to be drizzly, right, most of the day today that we're looking at. We also have talked to Zeke Elliott and his release, the Aaron Rodgers saga, all the NFL. Also, Buck, our next guest on the Vaqueros Hotline is our good friend Eric Goodman from the Austin Chronicle covering the Austin FC. But unfortunately, I saw in a tweet last night that Eric might have to be a Mets fan, and the Mets may have lost their closer last night in a celebration incident at the World Baseball Classic. Eric, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. I'll set the scene for you. I was just wrapping up a kickball game I was in, and I was streaming. You know, it was a great game, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. You know, Puerto Rico gets the upset, and you know, I see Diaz on the mound, and then just you see him lying with the with an injury, and it's just like literally ruined my night. Like, I cannot tell you how that ruined my night.
So you are a Mets fan, and he's the closer. Of course, they play the trumpet and the music when he comes into the game. He's got the big contract, and yeah, there he is. He's being embraced by his brother, who plays for the Reds, and something tweaked, something went wrong, and just cross your fingers that the MRI is better than it certainly looked on the field last night.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you're a Mets fan, you know that the odds of that, you know, taking a positive turn are not good. So
yeah, you're right. I'm right about that, Eric.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Eric, so let's talk some Austin FC because they've had a busy stretch here. I mean, this start to the season, you knew when the schedule came out with the CONCACAF games on top of their MLS schedule. But obviously the CONCACAF event did not go well. One of the bigger upsets, if not the biggest upset in that tournament, as an MLS team beaten by the Haitian side, Violette AC. But your column this week that I just read at the Austin Chronicle is in support of Violette, just trying to, not support of them, but letting folks know just what an accomplishment that was. And you can talk about the Austin FC side here coming up. But give me your thoughts on this team out of Haiti, that their country's in turmoil. They don't even have a league right now that they're playing in, yet they beat a team out of the MLS.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I mean, you know, yeah, as you mentioned, the country of Haiti is, you know, in just social, economic, political turmoil. You know, the majority of the country is under, you know, gang control by gangs. And yeah, obviously there's no place for to run a league during that time. You know, these two matches against Austin were the first games, competitive games that Violette had played in close to 9 months. I mean, it's just remarkable that they were able to, you know, maintain the ability to practice, first of all, because they were practice, even though they played their home leg in the Dominican Republic, they still had to find a way to practice for 9 months in Haiti without any games apart from, you know, this super underdog matchup against an MLS club, you know, across the Caribbean and the United States. And it's just remarkable, and seeing kind of what it meant to those players walking down the tunnel as they were exiting the stadium, you know, in tears, like holding back tears, talking about how, you know, they hope that their win can serve as some form of inspiration for some of the people really struggling in Haiti, and just showing them that, you know, even through all this adversity, there is still the potential to be great and to fight and to, you know, make great things happen like they were able to do.
Pretty amazing. And obviously that 3-0 loss at Dominican Republic, which was actually a Haiti's home game, the Violette's home game, really led to the victory, because they, you know, Austin had to get four goals on the board or three to tie it, and they tried on Tuesday night, and you were at the game. Talk about that onslaught. That they, their goalkeeper was incredible. 35 shots for Austin, 10 of them on goal, and they got two in with Driussi, but pretty incredible that they were able to maintain and hold off the home team.
Yeah, so, you know, what's crazy, obviously the 3-0 win that Violette was able to take in the Dominican Republic, obviously that's an upset. But you look at some of the betting lines that were coming in close to kickoff time, and Austin was, I think, minus 175, I saw, to win by four or more goals, which means they were the favorites to go through, even with, you know, the 3-0 head start for Violette. So just even the fact that Violette was able to keep it to a 2-0 loss on their part is a big upset in itself. And they just defended, you know, really soundly the entire match. I mean, I think that's what, up in the press box, we were kind of looking at each other and realizing that, okay, this isn't just, you know, kind of this flash in the pan underdog story. There are some legitimately skilled players, especially on the defensive side, that Austin just kind of ran into. And, you know, there wasn't a ton of plan B. You know, that's been kind of a weakness of Josh Wolf's game. And when plan A works, we've seen Austin, you know, just boat race teams to the tune of 5-0, 5-1. When that's not working and your attacking players aren't getting service and, you know, your opposing defenses are clearing the crosses, you know, as Violette was doing, Austin has a real hard time pivoting to another way to score. And, you know, it just kind of felt like, you know, rinse, repeat. You know, cross clearance, and it just wasn't enough. Eventually, Austin just ran out of time.
Eric, tell us about some of the players on this team that when they went to they took players from New Jersey. How do you do that in that quicker time? The turnover,
the guys that couldn't get visas.
Yeah, the guys that couldn't get visas. I mean, were those guys that actually, did they play in those games? Did they play in the game the other night?
So it was tough to kind of – so we do know that six players on Violette's roster could not enter the country and it had to stay home in Haiti. And so, you know, they showed up to Q2 Stadium with 11 starters and just three players on the bench. And it wasn't quite clear to me exactly, you know, if the three players on the bench were Violette players to begin with, or if they signed kind of the, you know, this 1 week contract. But whatever the case, I mean, this team was playing incredibly shorthanded, and yet, you know, it was just a case of going all, you know, playing with that much heart and intensity and not quivering. I mean, sometimes you see teams that, you know, can last, you know, an hour against, you know, a big club with seeding, and then, you know, give up, and then it all kind of falls apart, and that never happened for Violette.
Eric Goodman covers the Austin FC for the Austin Chronicle. Does a great job. You can follow him at Twitter, at Goodman, which is a great Twitter handle, at Goodman, his last name. Eric, the match for Austin FC, now back to business. You got to play, I mean, it's embarrassing, one of the worst losses in that tournament's history for them. You just went through it. Now you got to turn the page and get ready for the MLS. And you're going to Houston this weekend, where the Dynamo don't have any points so far this year. Austin, after that rough loss to St. Louis to start the year, of one back-to-back games, what's the key down there in Houston in your mind?
Yeah, so I mean, Austin has played Houston five times in MLS in you know, over the course of Austin FC's history. They've won four. You know, Austin has just proven to kind of be on a different level. As you mentioned, Houston's 0-2 so far this year. This will be their first home match. So, you know, they will kind of look forward to that advantage. But I expect Austin to go and win that match. There's just a gulf in talent that, assuming, you know, Austin is coming off a midweek game, they will be on a little bit of short rest. We'll see what kind of lineup Josh Wolf feels comfortable putting out there, if he's able to get kind of his patchwork center back pairing of, you know, the two Finns, Vaisanen and Alex Ring. I think if he has both of those players available, it should be really difficult for Houston to get anything working against Austin. And I would expect them to rebound from kind of this two-leg defeat and get right back on track.
Part of a real busy weekend, MLS action down in Houston, and Eric Goodman talking about. Real quick, Eric, on the Owen Wolf thing, that's been a big bone of controversy or conversation within the fan base. Josh Wolf's son is 18. He plays on the team, which is always a challenge for a coach and a son. But it does feel like through three games, Owen Wolf is playing to the part, right? He's playing like a guy who can be one of the best players on this team.
Yeah, he scored one of the best goals of the season, you know, the early season so far, in their last MLS game against Real Salt Lake. You know, great, great long-range shot. You know, Owen Wolf is the youngest player on the roster. He's only 18, and he's still developing. And, you know, I think it's completely fair to question whether, you know, he has developed enough at this point to be a week-in, week-out starter. But there's no question that he's got the potential to be one of the better players in MLS. I mean, he's had multiple call-ups to the U.S. national team program. And I think the only issue for Owen right now is the role he's being asked to play as kind of the quarterback of the offense, especially against Violette, getting so many touches and really kind of struggling to change it up and to be creative with it. But this is a player that Austin fans are hopefully, you know, for them going to be able to enjoy for a long, long time.
Well, we got to talk to you about the Claudio Reyna and that family and the saga, U.S. soccer. We need to get to you sometime next week and talk to you a little bit about that, what's happening with the U.S. soccer and, you know, that family. It is that you're talking about drama. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. One of the ugliest stories I've covered in a long time.
Well, let's put that on the calendar. We'll talk some Austin FC Houston next week with you, Eric, and try to figure out what's going on with that Claudio Reyna story. It's bigger than Austin, obviously, but he's no longer the sporting manager here in Austin, still with the team, but a developing global soccer story for sure. And Ted Lasso's back for season 3,
so
maybe we'll get an update on that as well. Hey, thank you, Eric. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Eric.
Anytime, guys.
Eric Goodman on Twitter, @Goodman. Good stuff. Yeah, his story's pretty interesting. You just realize, it's embarrassing that Austin FC lost that match. But for those guys, think about it. They hadn't played a game in 300 days. Their country's in turmoil. Their country is pretty much run by gangs.
Yeah, I mean, people are running for their lives
yes.
in Haiti.
Yeah, and so that's why they can't run a league. I mean, they beat Austin on in a two-match aggregate final score of 3-2. Pretty incredible. Been a busy day. We'll get the final Buck-ons and Buck-offs coming up. We'll give you our final fours. You ready for this, Buck? The final fours? I'm not. But, Ty, you ready? We'll do that when we come back.
Three brackets filled out. I'm ready to go.
Well, which one are you going to tell us? Which one are you going with?
The winner.
The first one I filled out.
All right. We'll do that when we come back. And then we'll hand it off to Craig and the crew up there in Des Moines, Iowa. Light the tower coming your way. First, our final fours coming on B&E.
B&E.
The final four conversation you and me and Ty will have before the tournament begins. Got to lay it to play it, Buck. Where are
yes,
we going?
Sure.
What's your final four, my friend?
I'm going
your final four.
Midwest, I got Texas.
Whoa!
West, I got UConn.
UConn.
East, I got the Fighting Shaka Smarts and Marquette. The South, I have Roll Tide.
Alabama.
Yes.
Those so Alabama, Marquette, Texas, and UConn. Well,
and I really don't know how I'm getting to this UConn thing. All of a sudden,
it's because they're 25-8, and they're fourth in the KenPom rankings, and they're really big. They're tall.
Yeah.
And their backcourt's going to be their question, which is why I. But no, that's a good. I mean, you and Jay Billis. And who we had, Ari Tepkin this morning, he likes UConn. Nothing wrong with UConn. T.Y., what's your final four, my friend? Do you have a final?
Yeah, I said earlier I was going to give my first bracket I made, but I'm going to make an audible on that one.
You're going to go to your third or fourth bracket?
I got my third bracket, my crazy one. I'm gonna lay it out there. Arizona, Marquette, Houston, and Gonzaga.
Arizona. Huh. I've been playing great defense of late. Their D can get you beat if you can give up points. That's why I like Texas. That's why I like – you know why you like UConn is their top 15 in adjusted offense and defense. They play well on both ends. Houston's that way. They don't really have a big weakness, whereas Arizona's defense isn't great. We mentioned UCLA's a little banged up with their injuries. Purdue, you like Purdue, right? But they've been 4-4 in their last 8 to coming into this thing before the Big Ten tournament.
Too young at guard for me.
Too young at guard. So, okay, so I'm going with this one. I'm going with Alabama and the whole Brandon Miller situation.
Brandon Miller will have a security, their armed security with him.
Well, he's the best player in the country in my mind, and he is a difference maker in these big games. I know they've got some tough matchups potentially with San Diego State and Arizona, potentially Baylor to get there, but I'm going to take Alabama out of the South bracket. Also,
there you go.
I'm going to ride the Dukies. I watched them play in the ACC tournament. They were rough early for John Shire, but have gotten well, and they're talented. I mean, talent typically wins basketball games, right? Not always, but if you get the talented players playing together, which John Shire has done, that bracket. I don't buy Purdue's backcourt. K-State, I think, kind of ran out of gas here in the Big 12. They were so good early, but Marquise Noel can light it up, but. I think Marquette's better than them, but I'm going to take Duke to beat Marquette to get there. I think that's how that's going to play out. So I'll take the Dukies. I'm going to take Gonzaga out of the West. This is the hardest one.
It's a year where no one expects them. There's
yeah,
no expectations.
No one's picking them, and they drill sub. Drew Timmy still plays for them, does he not, for crying out loud?
Yep.
You know, they're 28-5. I saw Texas beat the daylights out of them earlier this year.
They average close to 90 a game.
Did you pick Texas, Ty, or who'd you put in your Final Four?
In this one, I have Houston.
That's who I'm going to go with.
Texas losing to Xavier.
I know back on Sunday I said I like the matchup for Texas with Houston, but here's the issue with Houston. I'm going to take Houston to play in the Final Four in Houston and maybe cut down the nets in Houston for Kelvin Sampson, Buck. Now, it all is predicated on Marcus Sasser's groin. I don't like to base things on other men's groins, but, you know, let's just base it on that. If he stays healthy, he's an All-American in the backcourt. And they got this lottery pick down low that may be the difference maker. I mean, they got five guys that are in double figures, and they play that wicked brand of Kelvin Sampson defense.
And they can go to the boards.
Yeah, but Jarace Walker down low he's got an NBA body, one of those dudes. So I'm going to take Houston into the Final Four there. So those are my four. Houston. I'm sorry for. They're going to beat Texas in a national semifinal. It'll be a heck of a game. I'm going to take Houston because of their size. And you know, I talked about it all year long, but Texas just might not be big enough. If Dylan Dessou continue to play big, down low,
they need somebody else that's big in there.
That Houston group's got some bangers down in the paint, and they've got good guards.
Can Bishop do anything as a banger down there?
Yeah, Bishop and Dessou have to be real big. I'm going to take Houston, though. And also for Houston, their experience in this spot, right? They've been in the Final Four and the Elite Eight each of the last 2 years. This kind of feels like their year with the veteran. But if Marcus Sasser all of a sudden pulls up lame, watch out. They're real vulnerable at that point. Then I've got Gonzaga. Bama, Duke, Gonzaga, Houston.
Now, does it make you think the same way when you look in the South region with a team like Baylor, E? Because they've been there before?
Yeah, well, look at that. Yes, there's a lot I like about Scott Drew's team. I mean, it's Scott Drew. It's this program. They just expect to be there. They're kind of like Kansas. They're going to find a way. But here's the problem for them. They are not very good on defense right now. You know, they're not – they're giving up too many points, and but boy, they can light it up. And there's also kind of a feeling in Waco that Keontae George, their freshman, has kind of projected lottery pick himself.
Packed it in?
No, he's just kind of hit that freshman wall. I mean, these are more games than he's ever played, playing in the rigors of the Big 12. And I do know some people who know their hoops who wonder if the Big 12 kind of beat a lot of teams up, and they're not at 100%.
You're asking the question about everybody. You asked the same question about K-State. If they just petered out now after a long season.
Or it's just the Big 12, and it just takes it out of you, and all these teams will hit the conference, hit the tournament and be rejuvenated, potentially. So here's a stat of why I don't like Baylor, and here's a number when you're filling out your brackets because you have still an hour. You know, every team that's won a national title, every team has been ranked in the top 30, and most of them actually in the top 20 in KenPom, the Ken Pomeroy, in the final defensive efficiency rankings, everyone. Baylor is currently ranked 90th in those defensive efficiency rankings. That ain't good. So I can't pick them to make a run. But so teams with rough defense, I'm going to back off of. Houston plays the best defense, so I'm putting them there. And you know what? You're picking UConn. I might have to switch that because you know what? You know what I love is that Danny Hurley's got this team. Danny Hurley, one of the best players ever in college basketball. And he's got this team playing in the top 15 in both efficiency on offense and defensive rankings. UConn not a bad pick, Buck, at all.
Yeah, and that's been a real physical league this year, too. Big East has been real physical.
I mean, Bobby Hurley and Danny Hurley and the Hurley family. Come on, man.
Come on.
Who didn't love Bobby Hurley back in the day?
The Hurley family is going to get it done. The Jerseynites.
And now Danny's doing a good job. Love me some Bobby Hurley back in the day. So let's root for the Hurleys.
We got things going tomorrow. We got St. Patty's Day tomorrow.
Wear your green.
Get your green.
Ty, wear your green.
Ty, get your green blouse.
Oh.
Or are those bottoms.
It's a teddy.
Oh, those teddy. Get that green teddy ready.
Y'all are going to have to explain to me what a teddy is. Is that a teddy bear? What are you talking about?
It's a little outfit.
Ask your girlfriend.
Yeah, ask your girlfriend. She'll know
ask
that.
Your girlfriend.
Okay.
Ask her. She'll know. All right. So there's our picks.
Do you put it on and wear it tonight?
Hey, you've worn your mama's silk
pajamas. My mama's pajamas.
Before.
Those are pajamas. That wasn't a teddy, though. That was mama's pajamas.
Hey, our next 2 hours here on the Horn are coming live from Des Moines, Iowa. Site of the big game tonight. Texas at 6:25. Remember, it's Zay and Chad through the midday. And, of course, Arj and Rod are out at Twin Peaks and Round Rock. Also, remember, we announced this morning the Chris Stapleton concert. It's coming to the Moody Center in October. Get your tickets. You can win some at hornfm.com.